Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word and the one who brings it to us. The one in whom the word is embodied. We ask your spirit to guide us this day, to open us up to what you have for us. And that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. So how many of you in general love surprises? Anybody? Meh. There's a couple of you like maybe, depending on what it is. Cake, yes. Surprises can be good and bad and everywhere in between, right? Like there's a broad spectrum of surprise. And that goes, I think, also for relationships, right? Like in relationships, we can be surprised and it can be good and bad or everywhere in between. My husband and I are coming up on our 20th anniversary in June. We will have, I think, been together for 25 years, I think. And he still surprises me with some of the things that he does. Like this morning, as I was leaving, he was coming back from turkey scouting. And I was just kind of going down the two steps from our side entrance. And I was like, oh, there's the mouse. I saw him yesterday. He lives under the deck. I was like, what are you talking about? I don't see it. And I was like, it's under the tuft of grass. He was like, oh, there it is. And then he comes around in front of me, like kind of hunches over, looks at the mouse and goes, what are you doing? And then I just kind of sat there and like looked up at him. And so he picked up the mouse by its tail and then put it by the step that I was standing on so that it could go hide. I was like, that was unexpected. Oh, okay. You know, it's little things like, because I thought he might be like, oh, it needs to die, right? Like, because we have all kinds of mice because we have a dry fit foundation underneath our log home. So there's all kinds of cracks and things. But no, he was like, oh, right. You can go hide now. There's just small things like that. Sometimes they're big, you know, but it's those kind of things that hopefully bring us joy and make us laugh, right? Especially when in relationships. And in today's scripture from Luke, we hear again, so this is the third week in a row that we've heard about how the disciples, those who follow Jesus, so not just the 12, but the greater number, how they were surprised by the events surrounding Jesus' crucifixion. Again, it was recounted in this Luke passage about how, you know, some of their expectations regarding who they thought Jesus was and what he was going to do didn't happen. They were surprised he was crucified. They were surprised that the women went to the tomb and it was empty. They were surprised. And here's a few key facts that I think we need to keep in mind as we explore the scripture a bit more. So just as a reminder, this is the third day, as you heard it described in the scripture. So this was the Sunday morning that the Marys went to the tomb. You know, the scriptures that we've been hearing for the last couple of weeks, this is the same day. So it's only been really 2 days in our time, but 3 days in Jewish time. These disciples weren't part of the 12. They were part of the larger group. And one of the other things that struck me again is that these two clearly voiced their messianic expectation, right? In the New Revised Standard Version, it says, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And redeem, in the sense that they're talking about it, was restoration of political and national identity and power. And fourth, the other thing that I think we need to keep in mind is that there were a ton of emotions going on within them. They were downcast, they were grieving, they were probably very confused. They didn't understand what was going on. And all the things that they thought were true kind of ended up being not true, at least in the way that they had expected it. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus shows up, and God essentially hides from them. They don't recognize him. Even when he starts explaining the scriptures and Moses and the prophets and all of that, they don't see who he is. Literally, they don't see who he is. And so, you know, first, as Jesus does, he shows up and he's like, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" Oh, Jesus, the God that has a sense of humor. And so they tell him, and they're like, are you the only person that has not heard what's gone down in Jerusalem like 3 days ago? You know, they're incredulous that he doesn't know what they're talking about, which I think, and you know, I can just see Jesus with a little twinkle in his eye and a smile going, "We'll get there, guys, we'll get there. You'll see." And so they have this kind of introductory conversation, right? And they explain from their perspective how they've seen the most recent events. And then Jesus says, "I think you've missed the plot. Let me explain it to you." And so he goes and does it. He explains apparently everything from Moses to the prophets, and talks about how he is woven throughout the Hebrew scriptures. And then once they get to Emmaus, they invite Jesus to have a meal with them. Because they say, "Oh, it's already late. You know, it's getting evening. It wasn't safe to travel at night in those times, especially if you were walking." And so in their hospitality, they invited him to stay. And then as Jesus blessed the bread, he was revealed to them. And they see who's actually in front of them. And then Jesus disappears. They were so surprised by all that had happened, you know, because it takes a while to walk 7 miles, right? Like, even if you're hustling at 4 miles an hour, it's still an hour and 45 minutes. And that's probably flat, right? Like, if there were hills or whatever, it would have taken longer. So, you know, they hustle back to Jerusalem, another 7 miles in the dark, and also found out that Jesus had appeared to other people too. I think it's funny how God takes us by surprise. And it's in this, well, and this passage, and then the passage from last week, and in Easter as well, God takes us by surprise by showing up in ways that we don't necessarily expect, I think. So, how does God show up to us these days, right? God shows up to us through scripture, through communion, in our daily activity, in our grief and strong emotions, and in conversation, right? Like, how many of you have had someone say something to you, and then you realize that that was probably God speaking to you through that other person? Anybody have that happen? You should ask for it. It's freaky and unnerving and awesome all at the same time. God shows up in lots and lots of different ways. And a lot of times our eyes are closed, maybe not because God closes them, but because we're not paying attention, or we don't expect Jesus to show up that way, which I think is kind of like this whole theme of the few weeks after Easter, we're surprised. The disciples are surprised. We're surprised. And so we miss what God is doing sometimes, which is okay. But these two particular disciples were probably surprised by this man's interest. They were like, at least when I replay this in my head, I think there's some surprise involved. They are obviously surprised about his cluelessness from the events that have taken place. And I guess they're probably surprised by his knowledge of scripture. Jesus met them walking in their grief and disappointment, right? Because their expectations weren't met for who the Messiah would be and what they would do. And they had an incredibly meaningful conversation. Jesus showed up. And Jesus shows up to us today as well. But we have to know how God speaks to us. It could be, you know, through those five things that I mentioned. It could be through nature, through the rustle of the leaves, through the wind and the rain, through the sunshine. God speaks to us. And we need to be open to hear it so that we can deepen our relationship with God. Because I think I was reading, and one of the notes that one of the commentators made was about how we get to know Jesus through word and table, so scripture and communion, or scripture and fellowship or meal, however you want to call it. And as I sat with that, I was like, yes, but that's not the only way that Jesus shows up. And so we, as Christians, especially now in this time, right? Like a lot of what we consider tradition of ways that have been meaningful to us and how we encounter Jesus. So like, you're all here because in some way, worship is meaningful to you. It helps you encounter the risen Lord. But things have changed significantly, especially in the last 3 years, if not the last 30 years. So we need to be aware and ready for how God wants to surprise us in terms of sharing our faith with others, in terms of how we're in relationship with others, so that other people can also get to know Jesus, even if they would never walk into a building like this. Jesus met them on a road. I think that gives us a pretty good example of how we can journey with others also to help them get to know God. And part of, I think, the beauty of the Jewish tradition, these people were Jewish. They weren't theoretically yet Christian. They were very, very Jewish and happened to believe that Christ was the Messiah. Jewish tradition has an amazing history of argument and discussion. And so seeing things from different sides and having conversations around what does scripture really mean? What is it really talking about? And this is part of their community and part of their tradition. And so for Jesus to say, oh, well, let me explain to you how this is, right? And then have a conversation around that was not unusual for them. They were ready and primed for that kind of conversation. And I think for us in the church, we are also in some ways primed for that conversation. But for a lot of the people that don't know Jesus, that's probably not the place to start. Unless you hide the scripture in another language. Right? Not to be deceitful, but if you say, oh, 1 John, you know, chapter 1, verse 34, I don't even know if that exists. Let me just be clear. says, you know, love and blah, 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 blah. People are going to glaze over. They don't want to be preached at. And so we have to find other ways of engaging in conversation and engaging in relationship that tell about what we know, but maybe just using different language. We have to know our audience. And I think to me, that's one of the really key things about this passage. Not only did Jesus reveal himself in word and table, but he knew that that would be received by these two disciples. And they were open to being surprised. Not everybody's open to being surprised. Because in some ways, being surprised means that you have to trust the person surprising you. And that, again, requires relationship. And even though these two disciples clearly, based on Jesus' response, misinterpreted scripture, they wanted relationship with Jesus. And their misinterpretation did not prevent Jesus from meeting them on the road. Something for us to keep in mind, whether we're talking about sin or another person's viewpoint on scripture. Whenever we're wrong, it doesn't negate God's presence in our lives. We just may have missed the plot. And so God, that gives God an opportunity to speak into us. So are we open to being surprised by God? Are we allowing the risen Christ to reorient our understanding, to explain to us what scripture actually means, instead of us saying, oh, well, this is what it means? Are we willing to be in relationship where we learn and grow by being surprised? Important questions for us as a church in the midst of a very confusing and disheartening world. Are we willing to be surprised? To look for the weird and wonderful ways that God is showing up around us? Because these things give us hope. They deepen our trust in God, which then deepens our relationship with God, so that God has even more opportunities to surprise us in lots of different ways. So as you go about this week, thinking about surprise and whether or not you agree or disagree with my message, I hope you're thinking about it. And at the bottom of your bulletin, there's a couple questions. Again, for this season of Easter, how have I encountered the risen Christ? It could be today, it could be last week. But we need to be paying attention. And then the second question, where is God inviting me to listen more closely to what Jesus is saying to me? And remember, that doesn't have to be just through scripture. It can be in lots of different ways. And so as we go about this week, may God bless us and keep us. And open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what he has for us. Amen.